Welcome to Property Smart Advisors, the real estate and mortgage podcast. Whether you're a first-time buyer or just curious, all the tools you need to find, fund, and fortify your future. Because success isn't left to chance, it's built with precision. So turn up the volume and let's get started.
PropertySmart.ca.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. It is Monday, January 19th, 2026. And, you know, the question on everyone's mind right now, is it finally happening?
Is the great Canadian housing market thaw finally here?
Exactly. Is it back from the dead?
Mm.
Because we have been on this absolute roller coaster for, what, 3 or 4 years now. It's been mostly downs, and it feels like we've been waiting for the party to restart for a lifetime.
It has been a very, very long wait. And usually when we have this conversation, we're sort of speculating.
Right. Guessing.
But today is different. We don't have to guess. We have the actual roadmap right here in front of us.
We do. We are looking at the Canadian Real Estate Association's latest forecast.
Yeah.
And it literally just dropped a few days ago, January 15th.
And we should tell you, we're not just reading the press release headlines here. We've got the full stack.
The whole thing. The narrative report, the detailed data tables going back to like 1980, all the provincial breakdowns for 26 and 27.
It's a real treasure trove.
Yeah.
And it paints a picture that is, well, it's optimistic, but it's incredibly complicated.
And that is our mission today. We're going to unpack whether 2026 is actually the year of the great recovery that everyone's hoping for.
We also have to get into something called the supply paradox.
Oh, that sounds very dramatic.
It's probably the most critical mechanic for anyone looking to buy right now. And we need to explain why sales are taking off in one part of the country while prices are jumping in a completely different part.
A tale of two markets, it sounds like.
Or maybe even three or four. So I see you looking at these top line numbers and you want to just shout, the rally is on.
I do, but you're giving me that look, that hold your horses look. So why the caution?
Because while the arrow is definitely pointing up, the details are. They're just so nuanced. You have to look at where we came from to really understand where we're going.
Okay, so before we get too excited, let's check the rearview mirror. Because honestly, didn't we have this exact same conversation about a year ago?
We absolutely did. January 2025.
I remember it so clearly. The headlines were all, the big comeback is here. The Bank of Canada's done. The floodgates are opening.
Buy now or be priced out forever, all of that. And the consensus was overwhelming. But then reality hit.
It really felt like a false start. Like the engine turned over, coughed, and just died.
Well, it wasn't just impatience. The report highlights a specific external shock that just froze everybody up. It was the tariff tantrums coming out of the U.S.
Ugh, right. The trade threats. I think I blocked that out of my memory.
Well, think about the psychology of a buyer. You're about to make the biggest purchase of your life, and you hear the U.S. might slap tariffs on Canadian goods. What do?
You pause. You worry about your job.
You worry about the whole economy. That uncertainty sidelined buyers who were otherwise totally ready to go. So the first half of 2025 wasn't a housing problem. It was a confidence problem.
It's just amazing how headlines from across the border can freeze the market here in Toronto or Calgary.
It's all connected. But here's where it gets interesting. Despite that rocky start, there was a mid-year rally that a lot of people missed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Between April and August of 2025, sales actually climbed 12%.
12%? That's pretty significant for what we thought was a bad year.
It is, but it kind of fizzled out into a holding pattern by the fall. However, there's one specific date in this report you need to circle. October 29, 2025.
October 29. Okay, what happened?
That was the day the Bank of Canada signaled, in no uncertain terms, that interest rates were about as good as they were going to get.
Ah, the green light.
That's it. It wasn't that rates dropped to zero. It was the certainty. The bank basically said, look, we're done hiking. This is the new normal.
So if you're waiting for a better deal, stop waiting.
It was a psychological flare gun. It told all those borrowers on the sidelines, the ones who were terrified of locking in a fixed rate, that it was safe to come in.
Okay, so that was the moment the floor really solidified. But when you look at the final numbers for 2025, it still doesn't look like a boon on paper.
No, not at all. Nationally, 2025 ended with sales down 1.9%, about 470,000 units sold.
And prices.
They actually dipped a little, down 1.1% to just under $680,000. So yeah, it looks like a decline.
But psychologically, that October date set the stage for everything we're seeing now.
Exactly.
Okay, so the table is set. Let's look at the menu for 2026. What are the big numbers?
The forecast is calling for a solid bounce back. Sales are predicted to hit 494,512 units. That's a 5.1% increase.
A 5.1% jump in sales. And what about prices?
Prices are following, but modestly. Mm-hmm. The national average is expected to rise 2.8%, bringing us to roughly $699,000.
So 5% more activity, 3% higher prices. That sounds healthy. Not a frenzy, but healthy. But who is buying? Where is all this demand coming from?
This is the key. It's pent-up demand. But specifically, it's pent-up demand from first-time buyers.
The people who've been renting their parents' basements for the last 4 years?
Precisely. These are the people who've been completely shut out since 2021, and the report makes this really important distinction about rates. It says they haven't fallen as much as people hoped.
Right. We're not going back to 1.5% mortgages.
No. But they have fallen enough to restore attainability.
Attainability. That feels like a very carefully chosen word. It's not affordability.
No, it is not. You hit the nail on the head. Affordability, you know, how much money you have left over, is still much tougher than it was pre-2020. But attainability means it's now possible to pass the stress test and make the payments.
Even if it's tight.
Even if it's very tight. That door has just cracked open enough for that wave of first-time buyers to squeeze through.
Okay, so first-time buyers are rushing in. But this leads us to that term you mentioned, the supply paradox. What is it?
This is probably the most critical concept in the whole report. If you take nothing else away from today, remember this, the supply paradox.
Okay, the supply paradox. What does it mean?
It's about inventory mechanics. So think about the standard property ladder. When you, as a homeowner, decide to move, what happens?
Well, I sell my current place to buy the new one.
Correct. You absorb one home, but you also release one home back into the market.
So the net change to supply is zero. It's a wash.
It's a wash. One in, one out. But who's driving this 2026 recovery?
The first-time buyers.
Coming from rental apartments.
Ah, I see where this is going. They're buying a house, taking one off the shelf.
But they're not putting anything back on the shelf. They don't have a house to sell.
It's like draining a bathtub, but nobody's running the tap to refill it.
That is the perfect analogy. And because this forecast says first-time buyers are the main engine for this year, we are going to see inventory deplete much, much faster than usual.
So sales could be up, say, only 5%, but it feels 20% tighter because homes aren't being recycled back into the system.
Exactly. The shelves go bare much faster. And we know what happens when supply shrinks and demand rises.
Prices go up. Which brings us to the geography of this. You said price growth and sales growth are happening in different places.
That's right. It's a tale of two markets, really. The national average is hiding this massive split.
Okay, so break it down for us. Who are the winners?
Well, it depends on how you define winning. If you're talking about sales volume, pure activity, the recovery is being led by British Columbia and Ontario.
Big two.
The big two. The forecast shows BC sales rising 8.3% and Ontario up 8.5% this year. That is way above the national average.
And why them? Why are they bouncing back so much harder?
Because they fell the hardest. They were the most suppressed markets during the rate hikes because their prices are so high. So they just have the most room to recover.
Like a rubber band. They were stretched the furthest back, so they snap forward with the most force.
That's a great way to put it.
So if I'm in Toronto or Vancouver, the market's heating up. Prices must be skyrocketing then, right?
You would think so, but no. And this is the crazy divergence. Despite that huge jump in sales, price growth in Ontario is forecast to be only 0.8%.
0.8. Less than 1%.
Less than 1. And BC is only 2.3%.
Wait, how is that possible? Everyone's buying, but prices aren't moving. That breaks economics 101.
It comes back to that attainability ceiling. Because prices in Toronto and Vancouver are already so high, there's a hard cap on what people can pay. The bank won't let them bid prices up any further. So volume is returning, but the price appreciation is totally capped.
Okay, so where's the price growth happening then?
It's happening in the markets that never really crashed. The prairies and the Atlantic provinces.
Right.
Look at Saskatchewan. Prices there are forecast to jump 5.8%. Newfoundland and Labrador, 5.3%. Manitoba and Quebec are both over 4%.
Wow. So Saskatchewan is seeing nearly 6 times the price growth of Ontario.
Yes, because in those markets, supply is, and I'm quoting the report, far more constrained. And the price point is just lower. A $400,000 house can go to $420,000 much easier than a $1.2 million house can go to $1.3 million.
There's one number in these tables I have to ask about because I thought it was a typo.
Let me guess. The Manitoba anomaly.
Yes. Every single province has a plus sign next to sales growth for 2026, except Manitoba. Mm-hmm. It's down 0.4%. Mm-hmm. But its price growth is up 4.4%. How do you sell fewer houses but see a huge price hike?
It seems backwards, right? But Manitoba is the poster child for what we call a listings famine.
A listings famine.
Okay. It is for buyers. Sales aren't down because people don't want to buy in Winnipeg. They're down because there is literally nothing to buy. The shelves are bare.
So the volume drops just because the deals can't happen.
Exactly. But the few houses that do hit the market, buyers fight over them like crazy. Yeah. And that drives the price up. It's a classic low inventory squeeze.
It really flips the script on what a hot market means. It's not that everyone's moving. It's that nobody can move and everyone's fighting.
You've got it.
Okay, so that's 2026. What happens when we look further out to 2027?
The report shows a steady climb. For 2027, they're forecasting sales to go up another 3.5%, breaking that 500,000 mark to about 512,000 units.
And prices.
Edging up another 2.3% to around $715,000.
You know, $715,000, that number feels weirdly familiar, like deja vu.
It should. If we hit that number in 2027, it will mark the seventh straight year the national average has hovered in the $700,000 range.
7 years, basically the entire 2020s.
Essentially, the historical table shows 2021 was $690,000. 2022 was $706,000. We're just bouncing along this plateau. But, and this is a huge but, that's only in nominal terms.
Right, the sticker price.
But think about inflation since 2021. A dollar today buys way less than it did back then.
So if the house price stayed flat, but the dollar lost value.
Exactly. In real terms, adjusted for inflation, Canadian real estate has actually gotten significantly cheaper over the last 5 years.
That's a perspective you never hear.
It's the hidden correction. Everyone was waiting for the $700K house to become a $500K house. That didn't happen. Instead, everything else just got more expensive around it.
And what about that sales volume? 512,000 sales sounds like a lot, but how does it compare to the peak?
It's healthy, but it is not a frenzy. In 2021, you remember how chaotic that was?
Oh, total chaos. Bidding wars on everything.
That year, there were nearly 670,000 sales. So even by 2027, we're projected to be 160,000 sales below that peak.
Wow. That really puts the recovery in perspective. We're not rocketing back to the moon.
Not at all. We're climbing out of the basement. It's a normalization, a return to stability. And frankly, that is probably a lot healthier.
Okay, let's try to wrap this up for everyone. What are the big takeaways?
I think there are three main things. First, the psychological shift. The market turned on October 29th, 2025. If you're waiting for the absolute bottom, you probably missed it.
The train is leaving the station, but it's moving slowly.
Second, understand that supply paradox. First-time buyers are eating up inventory without replacing it, so selection could shrink faster than you think.
If you see a house you like, don't assume it'll be there in 3 months.
Correct. And third, know your geography. Ontario and BC will see more activity, but not much price growth. The prairies and the Atlantic, the opposite. Tighter inventory, more pressure on prices.
So it's a return to local market dynamics, not just one big national wave.
Exactly. Fundamentals matter again.
And for those tracking this, CREA's next forecast is out Thursday, April 16th.
That'll be the first real test of these numbers.
I want to leave you with one final thought. We talked about the supply paradox, about first-time buyers draining the tub. If they are the main drivers for the next 18 months and they deplete inventory faster than anyone else, are we setting ourselves up for a massive supply crunch in late 2027 that isn't on these charts yet?
That's the billion-dollar question. If builders aren't keeping pace and housing starts have been struggling, we could drain that tub dry and find ourselves in a very tight, very expensive market a few years down the road.
Something to think about. That's it for today's deep dive. Thanks for listening.
We'll catch you on the next one.
PropertySmart.ca.